And we ask the saints to pray for him as he cometh the word to the church. Let's just sing a song of Only Believe as Brother Vin Dial from Third Exodus Assembly, Trinidad, West Indies, comes to our front.
Only
you to do one thing as we raise our hand and sing this out.
Jesus is here. Almighty God, we bow our hearts in your presence, Father, knowing it is Sunday evening. Lord, remember on that great Sunday evening when you walked with those two men in the road to Emmaus, Lord, and they invited you in, Lord, after hearing you speak. Lord, such a long message and the modern events and how the scriptures were fulfilled and what was achieved in that day. And you behaved as though you were going to go on farther, but they constrained you, Lord. And when you saw the desire in their heart that they desired to take you in and that you would be with them and they would be able to minister to you and fellowship with you, Lord, you decided to abide with them. You took the bread into your hands and you blessed it and you break it, Lord. And you did it in such a way that their eyes were opened.
Yes, Lord.
And truly they recognized, Father, that the Lord had risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Something happens when it's evening time, Lord.
Hallelujah.
There's a deep in our heart cries out for fellowship.
Yes.
And so, dear God, as we draw close to you this evening, we pray that your great divine presence, Lord, will just overshadow us. And your love will be shed abroad in our hearts. And these, dear God, who maybe didn't have much time to sit in the meetings, Lord, having to minister to all the visiting saints, and Lord, working behind the scenes, that this evening as we come to sit together as it were, Lord, and just talk about your goodness, Lord, that, Lord, your presence will just move in every heart, Lord. And Lord, there'll be such a point of your grace and your mercy and your love. Lord, may you grant it this evening. Take each one into your divine consideration, Father. And Lord, I pray that you will bless them abundantly. And Lord, there will be not one this evening that will have a desire in their hearts, looking unto you, expecting to receive that which they have need of. And you will grant it unto them, Father. Lord, we commit this service into your hands, asking that you would bless the few thoughts and you would get glory out of it. For we pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to invite your attention to a little scripture in Numbers chapter 19. Certainly appreciate the opportunity for this service. And, you know, you have meetings and you get kind of set for meetings and people come in from different places and you're preaching to a mixed crowd. And Sometimes the world goes one way and another way, but it's so nice that just the home church, we could come and we could just sit together tonight and talk a little bit about the Lord Jesus Christ, who we love so much and desire to know even in a greater way and serve him. And just won't be long, just a few thoughts, create a little atmosphere and see what he will do in our midst. Certainly appreciate all your labors of love and your sacrifice. Truly it was a wonderful meeting, not just when we were gathered here in the house of God, but to see, you know, being a pastor myself and have meetings at times, and you know, the kind of labor and sacrifice, the cooperation, the unity, the things that's involved in having a successful meeting, and especially being able to set the right standards and people come in and they can be blessed and they can be ministered to. And it certainly has been a very wonderful time. Amen. And it just shows the character of the local church here. It shows that you've been taught well, you've been trained, you're a faithful and dedicated servant of God with love in his heart. Amen. To put out this message and to be a blessing to the bride of Jesus Christ. And may God certainly bless you and reward you greatly for all your efforts. And may many of you who didn't have a chance even to sit in the meetings and maybe get to hear, and the time would come in the week, sometime you get a chance, you sit and you listen back to the tape or whatever, and God certainly will not leave you out and will give you a full portion. And even tonight, whatever you have need here, he will take it under his consideration. And we can find that favor in his heart, in his presence tonight, and it can just flow right down to us. Amen. Numbers chapter 19, such a wonderful scripture. It reads in this wise. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord had commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. Now the heifer is a female. And this was to be a female. It had to be red in color because red is an atoning color. And it had to be a heifer upon which never came a yoke. And you know what? Man puts a yoke upon the animal so he can bring the nature of the animal, which is different to the man's nature, subject to the will of the man. They can control that animal. But here we see that it had to be one that never came, there was never a yoke came upon it. And you shall give it unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring it forth without the camp, and one shall slay it before his face. So we see that this heifer is being killed on the outside of the camp and before the high priest. And Eleazar the priest shall take of its blood with his finger and sprinkle of its blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation seven times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, its skin and its flesh and its blood with its dung. After the heifer was slain, the heifer now had to be burnt. It had to be reduced to ashes, and burning it changed the form of the heifer from a slain heifer to a pile of ashes. Yet, it was the same heifer in another form. All that the heifer constituted was changed into another form, into the ashes. Then the priest shall take cedar wood, not any kind of wood, cedar wood, which is a red wood, and hyssop and scarlet, which is ram's wool dyed in red, and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Catch this. They slay the heifer outside the camp before the priest. Then they burn that heifer, and while it's being burnt, and the tradition said that the priest would take cedar and say, here is cedar wood, here is hyssop, here is scarlet, and it must go into the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water. And afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until evening. And he that burneth it shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the evening. And a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer. So one clean man, he comes, he burns the ashes, burn the heifer and reduce the ashes. Another man comes and gather up the ashes, and lay them up outside the camp in a clean place. And it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel, for a water of separation, it is a purification for sin. The ashes was the memorial of an already accepted sacrifice. And all that was achieved in the slaying of the heifer were laid in the ashes. And he who gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. And it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them for a statute forever. So verse 1 to 10 gives us the ordinance of this red heifer. How it was slain, how it was reduced to ashes, how it was laid up in a clean place. Verse 11 shows us what it was used for and how it was applied. He who toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with it on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man who is dead, and purifieth not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord, and the soul, and that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him, he shall be unclean, his uncleanness is yet upon him. This is the law. When a man dieth in a tent, all who come into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it is unclean. In other words, any vessel that is not sealed becomes unclean if you have a dead man in that tent. A dead man is a man, is a body that once had life, but the life have left it. Like you have a dead church body, it once had life, but the life have left. See, when this was the people who came in contact with the dead. Amen. Verse 16. And whosoever toucheth one who is slain with the sword in the open fields, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. There's organizational graves. Amen. There's men who were slain with the sword of the mouth of the messengers. When they came, the messengers came, they slew them with the sword that proceeded out of the mouth. Right. See? And for an unclean person, they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer a purification for sin, and running water shall be put thereto in a vessel. You couldn't use stagnated water from a cistern. It had to be running water. Amen. To mix with the ashes. Because running water speaks of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it upon the tent and upon all the vessels and upon the persons who were there and upon him that touched a bone or one slain or a dead or a grave. And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day and on the seventh day. And on the seventh day shall purify himself and wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and shall be clean at evening. But the man who shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, any man who refuse to submit himself to the sprinkling of this water separation. It was a purification for sin. they take the ashes and they mix it with the running water and they sprinkle the people who was in contact with the dead. Amen. And so when they sprinkle them, then they were made clean and then they can enter into the camp again. Amen. See, then once they were in the camp, they had access to the covenant blessings. Amen. They had access to covenant relationship. They had access to the throne. They could come in and worship God. But if they were unclean, they had to be separated from the camp.
Amen.
But the man who will shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of separation hath not been sprinkled upon him, and he's unclean. And it shall be a perpetual statute unto them that he who sprinkleth the water of separation shall wash his clothes, and he who toucheth the water of separation shall be unclean until evening. And whatsoever the unclean person toucheth shall be unclean, and that soul that toucheth it shall be unclean until evening. May the Lord bless you with his word. You may have a seat. I want to take for a little title just for a little talk this evening. The Ashes of the Red Heifer. You know, it has been a great thing in recent times since for 2,000 years, the first red heifer that was born in Israel.
That's right.
And all the rabbis got around to begin to inspect this red heifer. And the people were in such anticipation for the rebuilding of the temple and the sacrificing of this red heifer, because in their prophecy it says when a red heifer is born again, it will be the sign that the Messiah is close at hand.
Amen.
And so it created a great stir in Israel. But from the word we know that the blood of bulls and goats cannot purge a man's conscience from sin.
Amen.
Where there is no more remembrance of sins. The only atonement that can cleanse anybody is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But because they're still blinded and they're still thinking in ways of the shadow and the Old Testament ordinances, they are excited about that because they know something is at hand for them.
Amen.
But we know that Moses and Elijah, who's going to come in the scene, is going to reveal this great red heifer to them. Is going to bring this great atonement to them, and their identification with that atonement is going to cause the very life of that atonement to come back upon them.
Amen.
Just like it has done for us. As we think on this ash of the red heifer, it's remarkable how God in his word lays out things here in the scriptures. Because, as we say, every scripture testifies of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And if you have been listening closely to the messages, you realize that you can take any scripture and preach this message because every scripture testifies of this message.
Amen.
And that's what the opening of the seven seals were for, because the truth, the hidden mystery of God revealing Christ was hidden in the Bible in shadows and types. And when God is giving something to his people as an ordinance that they would observe this thing, it means to say there is something he has in the back of his mind that he wants to communicate to these people.
Right.
And so God had a purpose for giving this ordinance to the children of Israel, because it was something to give them a great hope. And so as we look at this, I trust it will give you an insight into the heart of God, because he is the giver of every good and perfect gift.
Amen.
And God, when he gives us a gift, well, that God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. So if Christ is the mystery of God, and that lamb that was slain in the Old Testament was a mystery of Christ.
That's right.
Oh. He was such a great sacrifice that it took many different types of sacrifice to reveal this one sacrifice.
Glory.
Paul in the book of Hebrews says, by one offering, once and for all, he perfected them forever who are sanctified.
Amen.
But this one sacrifice was so great and it achieved so much that no one sacrifice in the Old Testament could reveal all of what Christ was going to do for us.
Amen.
So God gave a burnt offering, and that revealed one aspect of what Christ achieved. Then God gave a meal offering, that revealed another aspect. Then God gave a peace offering, that revealed another aspect. Then God gave a sin offering, that revealed another aspect. Then God gave a trespass offering, that revealed another aspect. And every time he would give something, it was that we would be able to understand all of what has been made available for us in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when this message, which is a message that completely reveals him, was to come in the last days, the people in the last days would see all of what we are beneficiaries of.
Amen.
And when we see all that God has done for us in Christ, then it is something that we can take and use and apply in our lives when we are confronted in the course of our earthly journey.
Amen.
It is very strange that God would put this ordinance in the book of Numbers and not in the book of Leviticus. Because the book of Leviticus is all the feasts and all the offerings and all the sacrifices and the temple worship and all these things.
Amen.
But God put this in the book of Numbers, which speaks of the elected, called out people who was called out by a vindicated prophet out of the system where they were in bondage and where they was traveling, journeying under the message of a prophet to a promised inheritance that that prophet message was telling them about.
Amen.
Oh my. So when we look at it, knowing that the first Exodus is a type of the second Exodus, because Moses called them out of Egypt, a natural land, and brought them into Canaan, a natural land.
Amen.
Jesus, a prophet like unto Moses, because Moses was only a type of Christ.
Amen.
Then Jesus took them out of a spiritual condition, Judaism, in Sadducees and Pharisees, all these denominations, and brought them into a spiritual condition, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in this day, he takes us out of the system to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all the way back to the theophany, to immortality, and into the great hereafter. So the first Exodus is a type of the second Exodus, and the first and second Exodus is a type of the third Exodus. So God did not leave us to be blind as to what we are to be under expectation of. As to how we should walk.
Amen.
He didn't leave us to be confused that if anything happens to us to break our fellowship with God, that we would just be shut out. Here we are seeing that God was given an ordinance for a people in journey with the consideration that while they are journeying to their promise under the message of a prophet, they might become defiled. And so, if by contact with the evil world that they have to pass through, they become defiled in some way, and sin interrupts fellowship. Sin breaks fellowship. And if the fellowship is broken, and then the will of God is always associated with fellowship. And we need to stay in fellowship that we can stay under the revelation of God's will, that we can journey under his guiding influence, under his headship, under his leadership, having relationship with him as he reveals himself to us, bringing us into the promise.
Yeah.
But God is showing, he knows, somewhere along the journey, because of the evil world we are passing through, we may come in contact with the dead and become defiled.
Yeah.
And God is showing that if fellowship is broken, there's a way that fellowship, broken fellowship, can be restored.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. He's showing that there's a way that that fellowship can be maintained.
Thank you.
You see, in the beginning, God had fellowship with Adam in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
It was a picture of a great oneness. God and man becoming one. Man in union with God. Man on earth reflecting God of heaven. And God would come down in the cool of the evening. And Adam and God would walk in the garden. And they would talk. And that oneness was broken. But God so desiring that fellowship. Because he made man for fellowship.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 You see? But the fellowship with anything, there must be a oneness. There must be the same nature.
That's right.
You see, Adam, he enjoyed himself with the animals. Even the serpent could have talked. So before Eve come on the scene, Adam and the serpent would talk. You know, a serpent, you know, go over there and do this. And the serpent, like Adam, you know, right-hand man, there, under Adam's dominion, he obeys. He was like a servant. Amen. But Adam longed for fellowship. And when God, seeing the need for fellowship, because Eve wasn't given to Adam for sex, he was given to Adam for fellowship. The serpent brought sex in and perverted the thing. Amen.
Amen.
So when that fellowship was broken, God slew a lamb and showing that one day, through the blood of his cross, the enmity would be slain, the middle wall of partition would be broken down, and there would be reconciliation.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. He reconciled them by the blood of his cross. And they who have twain, because the middle wall of partition, he slay the enmity, break down the middle wall of partition, and make of twain one. And brought man back into friendship, back into fellowship. Because when man fell away, he became an enemy of God. Romans 5 says, while we were enemies, Christ died for us. See? And so, we see then that God was showing that fellowship would be restored. When Jesus came, he prayed, Father, that they may be one as I and you are one.
Yeah.
Then in this day we see a prophet come and preach oneness. Unite in time and sign.
Yes.
See, invisible union. Super sign. God and man becoming one. Why? Because God's great mystery of love expressed. God and man is one there. God and man is one here.
Yes.
We see God coming to that prophet and say, won't you take a walk with me?
Amen.
And we see man and God walking in the cool of the evening at evening time again.
Amen.
We see man could pick the storm out of existence. We see he walk into virgin timber where the animals come close to him.
Amen.
Amen. He stood there. Hallelujah. He looked and he saw himself becoming young again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What it was, showing this great Edenic blessing, this great promise, was coming back in the evening time.
Amen.
God longing for this fellowship. And so when God met Eve, he didn't take some other material to make the woman. He took part of the man to make the woman.
Amen.
Because she had to be bone of his bone, flesh of his, part of his him in order to have true fellowship.
Go
when God wanted fellowship, he made Adam like himself. An ant and an elephant can't fellowship.
Amen.
A dog and a cat can't fellowship. While the dog talking, one dog was digging a hole and burying bones, the cat wanted to chase a rat. They make it different. They can get along just so far, and that's it.
Amen.
Birds of a feather flock together.
Amen.
Amen. So God had to make a God.
Amen.
And God had a kingdom, so he had to make a God with a kingdom.
Amen.
Then two gods could talk together.
Amen.
Then two gods could walk together.
Amen.
Then two gods could enjoy themselves together.
Amen.
God of heaven and God of the earth.
Amen.
Oh, my, they had a wonderful time.
Amen.
See, on a message called Reconciliation Through Fellowship, he said people has longed for this wonderful thing of fellowship. The world tonight is hungry for fellowship. The nations are hungry for fellowship. People are hungry for fellowship. But we go at it in the wrong way. What makes man long for fellowship? What makes that in your heart that you long to fellowship? He said, my mother used to use an old proverb, birds of a feather flock together. And that's a whole lot of truth. You don't see dove and crows together. Because they have no fellowship. Their diet is different. Their makeup is different. A crow's a scavenger. A dove couldn't eat that kind of food. He has no gall. He's not made up that way. And that's the way that the world and Christians cannot fellowship together.
Come
See, what fellowship with light have with darkness, see? And that is why Paul said, we were sometimes darkness. But now are you light in the Lord. The darkness is past. Why? Because the first birth, when we come by sex, that was darkness. See, man fell from life to death. He fell from light to darkness. See? He fell from health to sickness. He fell from youth to old age. He fell from liberty to bondage. And he's trying to work by science since then to open up that door to come back. But he can't find it. See? It was hidden in the mysteries of God. That way was through Christ. No man can come to the Father but by me. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. By a new and living way, we can enter in into the holies again. Amen. He takes the seals off of himself. The veil was rent in twain. Amen. So man can come in. Amen. He opened up the word in this day, so we can come in.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He said, that's the way that the world and Christians cannot fellowship together. There's something different. You just can't do it. Because a man, when he wants to become a Christian, a born-again Christian, then the old things die, all things become new again. He become a new creature in Christ. But this great strain of man longing for fellowship, we try to bring people together through the ages. Many times, educational programs have tried to unite people together by education. And standing in this auditorium tonight, this lovely school, I certainly wouldn't speak against education, but education is not the appropriated way for fellowship. You can't educate people to love one another. You think you can, but it takes a divine order to do that.
Amen.
There's no way to do it through education. And many times that we try it through denomination of churches, and each denomination builds up, you will never be able to have too much fellowship with God. And God longs for his creature, who he created in his image, to fellowship with him. Amen. He said, wouldn't you love? Get this now, this part I want to get to. Wouldn't you love to have lived in that time? Okay, this is just a fireside chat here, so just think of it. Amen. When that great fellowship God had with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, to come down in the cool of the evening and talk with them and fellowship with them, wouldn't that be marvelous? We all would like to have that time. He says, now I believe by God's word I can prove to you that we can come right back on them terms again with God tonight, right straight back to that kind of fellowship.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Praise
yes.
God.
Amen.
Think of it. What a powerful statement.
Amen.
We might be able to change the whole world, but you, in covenant with God, in your home, in your sphere, in your environment that God have given you and placed you and made you to have dominion, you could have that atmosphere.
Amen.
In your life, in your home, in your church.
Yes.
Where God comes down and abides with you. There's one only provided place where God and man meets, and that's in Christ.
Amen.
There's a fellowship through that blood.
Amen.
Amen. There's a reconciliation. There's a friendship. There's a revelation of God's will. There's a guiding influence of the Holy Spirit that we do not walk blind. We do not wonder if we are right. We do not. We are not nervous and full of strain and tension. Could it be? Are we going to come up wrong? Is there something? Is that church right? Are we wrong? Is this over here? Is that interpretation? Could that really be right? We don't have to be under that strain.
Amen.
We can know we're in the will of God.
Amen.
We can know God comes and we gather. Amen. We can know we are having that fellowship. We can see how that revelation is moving out into the hearts of the believers. They are understanding the time that they are living in. They are understanding the truth of the message, how God has set his system up, that God and man is becoming one again to fulfill the prayer. Because he said, this day you shall know I in you and you in me. You will see face to face.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
See, there's going to come a time when sin cannot even stand among the believers. It will be like the days of Ananias and Sapphira will come right back in the church. There will be a perfect love among the believers just before they go in that rapture. Amen.
Amen.
Like he saw beyond the curtain of time.
Amen.
And that's why when we see what is promised, If we have to come to that place, surely God has to be working according to his word to bring us in that condition.
Amen.
God cannot say that's his program, that is the requirement, that's the condition we must meet, and then do not work to bring us there.
Amen.
When we are his workmanship.
Amen.
He's the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
We are created unto good works in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And this is the confidence, being confident that he who begun the work in us will perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. And when God took them out of Egypt, he was determined to bring them into the promise. And so he raised up a prophet, give him two signs to confirm his commission. Bring a pillar of fire to vindicate him. Look at there, bring a cloud to vindicate him. Amen. Hallelujah. Send him out with the word to break the bondage of the people, to take them out. Amen. Take them to a promise. And God is so determined. I will bring them into that promise. I will bring them into that condition. I'm going to be certain that not even their own sins and their own mistakes and their own failures will keep them out. This is an unconditional covenant I've made with myself. Amen. Hallelujah. I know they'll get contact with the dead in this day. He have identified to us. He have established the difference. Amen. See, many people don't realize that this present world that we are living in, so many are failing to see. God have already made distinction like he did in Egypt. In the time when the Exodus was at hand. There was gross darkness on the Egyptians. But the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. They were all rushed into Goshen. They were under the blood of the Lamb. The last plague was striking everywhere, but it could not touch them.
Amen.
Because they were identified. They had the token on display. The word spoken to them by a vindicated prophet. They had obeyed the message of the prophet in carrying out the word. They had the children. They had the loved ones. They had them together under the word of the prophet. Amen. According to the requirements and the instructions of how to apply the blood, what to apply the blood with, where to apply the blood.
Amen.
They wasn't just talking about the blood. The prophet told them how to apply the blood.
Amen.
What to apply it with, where to apply it. Amen. It had to be correctly applied.
Amen.
They couldn't just say, we have the blood. No. You could have it in a basin. Amen. Had to be on the lintel and the two side posts. What was that? That was a cross. Amen. Showing that they were identified with the mystery of the Lamb that was slain on the cross.
Amen.
The mystery of Christ. Amen. God made identification already. Shall the judge of all the earth destroy the righteous with the wicked? He said, no. He'll gather the wheat. He'll bundle the tares for the burning. Amen. He has made a distinction between the living and the dead. He said he will come to judge the quick and the dead.
Amen.
The quickened ones with quickening power.
Amen.
Amen. And the dead. Amen. Who rejected the message and the last plague struck them.
Amen.
Amen. He made a distinction between the justified and the condemned. He said, you are the sinless, spotless, virtuous bride of the Son of the living God who never did it in the first place.
Amen.
He made a distinction between the place where he placed his name and blasphemous names. He said, there are blasphemous names out there. But God called you out of blasphemous names to bring you in the place where he placed his own name.
Amen.
He made a distinction between the seal of God and the mark of the beast.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. In the investigation judgment, he separated the righteous from the wicked.
Amen.
He separated the wheat from the tares. And that's why to come in contact with the dead, people don't realize you go out in the world.
Right.
You see the dead all around you.
Right.
The dead in the job.
Amen.
The dead in the cinemas.
Amen.
The dead in the sports arenas.
Amen.
The dead in the parties and the dances.
Amen.
It is the dead. Dead in sin and trespasses. A woman that liveth in pleasure while she's alive is dead.
Amen.
Amen. But the living, the one, Romans 6 says, we are alive unto God. We raise up in the newness of life. Is that what the Bible says? Raise up with resurrection power. We were dead in sin and trespasses, but he called us out of the dark organization of graves. Amen. Amen. Bring us up in the Sunday, in a spiritual resurrection.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because the soul that sinneth shall surely die.
Amen.
Amen. So God have already separated the living from the dead.
Amen.
But we are in contact with the dead almost every day.
Amen.
You have to go to work in the workplace with the dead. You have to travel on the streets with the dead. Children have to go to school with the dead.
Amen.
Amen. But the dead in the churches, in the seminaries and cemeteries and everything else. All over. And so God knowing that there was a defilement by contact.
Amen.
Amen. And there's a purification by separation.
Amen.
And so he knows that somehow along the way, people will come in contact with the dead. And then they will become defiled by contact.
Amen.
And that will break the fellowship. And when that breaks the fellowship, then they cannot have access to the throne because God cannot fellowship with sin. So then God now knowing, this is my people. I called them. I chose them. They can't make it on their own. And if that fellowship is broken, then they will be outside the guiding influence of the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't have no leadership. Like when Adam's fellowship was broken with God, he wouldn't hide. He had fear. He began to pass the blame on his wife. He was in such a bad condition.
Amen.
They tried to manufacture a covering to help themselves. And that's what happens when man's fellowship is broken with God. But God, so determined and so willing to bring his people into the promise, then he gave an ordinance that in case that fellowship should be broken, it will not remain broken and his people will not be separated from him. He took them into consideration that before they even contacted any dead, God already had the remedy in case the situation came up. Can you catch that hope? Can you see that tonight? Can you see into the heart of God how determined he is to bring you into the promise? That's why the prophet said, man is of the fight is with the hell. Because God is desirous to give it to us more than we could even desire it.
Glory.
It was God is the one who was thinking,
yes, sir.
Just in case they get contact the dead.
Yes, sir.
Just in case they go by some denominational grave.
Yes.
Just in case they end up in some church with some dead man in the pulpit or some dead people in the pews.
Amen.
And then there's such a fellowship and contact with these things that they get defiled by contact.
Yeah.
Just in case you have little ones, vessels that was not sealed, had no covering, open, and become defiled in the message tents.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Just in case some, but they were so dead that they passed the stage of corruption, they're just a bone. Well, a bone means it's dead, rotten, and corrupt. It's in a stage. It's reaching the stage of a bone now. Meet some of the vilest sinners. Come to live next door to you. Move in the neighborhood. Begin to smoke and carry on and drink and play the worldly music so loud. Disturb your peace. Amen. They want to influence the children, influence your life and everything else. Oh my! And then your channel get blocked up and you can't seem to feel the presence of the Lord. You can't seem to see the guiding influence of the Holy Spirit. And God knows we are going to come and look at us down through these years. Since that pillar of fire come back to lead the church out in this Exodus. Look at how much dead we have come in contact with down through the years. Look how many times we feel like the prophet when that black sheep was there. And there's no leadership and you couldn't hear from God. Amen. And you wanted to have access again. You wanted fellowship. You wanted a channel of communication clear. So you can feel the presence of God coming down, bear the nugget of your soul. Amen. Holy Spirit, rise up and get out there. Amen. Go talk to your neighbor. You've got to see the power of God come down. He said, go to tongue today. Don't know why. You dress and you go. You meet somebody. You witness to them. You've seen the guiding influence of the Holy Spirit operate in your life. You get sensitive to the leadership of God. You become a channel through which God can work. God was showing in this type. Did you notice it was only for the children of Israel? It wasn't for the world?
Amen.
This was the ordinance. God speaking to his Exodus prophet.
Amen.
He said, have this water separation for the people call out on their message.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Had to be red. Had to be a female. You know why? Because when he died taking our place. Our sins were upon him. He became us.
Amen.
That we might become him.
Amen.
And the female speaks of what? Submission.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so, when they took that heifer, they took it out beyond the camp. Like Jesus, he couldn't die in Jerusalem.
No.
They took him outside of Jerusalem. Amen. Outside of the camp.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And he was sacrificed before the priests and the elders.
Yeah.
And they saw the red heifer was slain.
Yeah.
And it died. Many of people might have seen that heifer when it was born. Many of them might look upon that heifer.
Yeah.
And no doubt they did. We are told in the Bible for 33 years that heifer grew up in Nazareth.
Yeah.
Went out preaching everywhere. And many a man had an association with the heifer.
Amen.
Many a man could say, I know that heifer. I fed that heifer one time.
Yeah.
We made a nice supper for that heifer.
Amen.
Amen. That's a very nice heifer. You could get it on that heifer, it wouldn't butcher, it wouldn't kick you. Amen. It was just a nice meek heifer.
Yeah.
And everybody could tell the stories about the heifer.
Amen.
But one day that heifer had to die. And that heifer had to die outside the camp.
Yes,
and that heifer had to die before the high priest.
Amen.
And Caiaphas and Annas and them stood there watching the heifer dying outside the camp in Golgotha.
Amen.
Amen. Slain.
Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Then a clean man had to come.
Amen.
And he had to take the heifer that everybody was looking at and burn it and change the heifer from a heifer to ashes. He had to reduce it to ashes. And so when Paul came, he began to preach and say, if you know him after the flesh, know him after the flesh no more. Because every man was saying, well, I know that heifer. I grew up with that heifer. I was in the meeting with the heifer. I hunted one time with the heifer. I fished with the heifer. And then I tell all the heifer stories. And they tried to gain prominence and have influence because of their association with the heifer. And Paul, when he began to preach about Jesus, he began to reveal him in another way. Because too much of people relating to him after the flesh. And Paul showed that Christ is the last Adam. He is Melchizedek. He is the greater tabernacle. Christ is our first fruits. Christ is the Passover. Christ is the unleavened bread. He began to preach Christ in a different way.
Yeah.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John says, oh, we were by the river when the voice came and spoke. And we were in the mountain when the cloud came. And they could tell all the events. But Paul understood that there was an achievement. He was born for a purpose. He began to show who he really was, what he came for, what he achieved. And he began to show all the types in the Old Testament, all the shadows spoke of this one. And they were made beneficiaries of something when he died. And so he had met Jesus in a pillar of fire. He didn't meet the Jesus in flesh. He met him after he rose and changed back to that Logos. Hallelujah. Glory. He didn't speak about him as just a man from Nazareth. But Paul preaching changed the way that they had seen him. Paul is the one who speaks about reconciliation, atonement, propitiation, redemption, justification. All these different words he used in his teaching to bring out what was really achieved for us in the life of Christ. So we can be able to walk into the full benefit of what was made available, and we could live in the enjoyment and the privileges of what Christ brought back for us. He was the one who taught us our position in Christ. Hallelujah. And so, all of us lost in the fall, Paul began to teach how to approach, how you come bold with boldness before the throne of grace, how you're entering by a new and living way, how you're a forerunner, a good high priest after the order of Melchizedek, gone in before us. Hallelujah! Glory! And when he began to open up this great mystery, he changed the way man saw Jesus. For man wanted to wear belt buckles and bumper stickers and cowboy hats and everything else, and to see him that way. But there was a mystery behind that life in the Bible. So he said, you can't know him after the flesh no more. And so the heifer was changed into a pile of ashes. Yet in that ashes, it constituted all that was achieved in the sacrificial death of the heifer. And so Paul brought to us the gospel of grace. Hallelujah. This great revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And when he brought that revelation, all that Christ achieved, healing, salvation, deliverance, redemption, everything, it laid in that gospel. It laid in the form of the word. And by the preaching of the word, anointed with the Holy Spirit, man could receive that. God removed the physical heifer off the scene, the physical body, and gave us the revelation of the word. Yet the gospel had all that he achieved us: peace and joy and fellowship and dominion and salvation and healing and a new body. Everything lays in the word. Hallelujah. Oh, man. After a while, the winds begin to blow, and all the ashes were scattered. Oh, it was scattered. In that heifer, when they burn it, had the foot, the hooves, the tail, the dung, the skin, the horn, everything lived there. Changed into another form as a memorial of an already accepted sacrifice. Amen. And they put hyssop in it. Hyssop is faith. Because the common weeds that go to the water, they apply the blood to it. Cedar, a redwood, spoke of the cross where he died. And scarlet, ram's wool dyed red, spoke of the blood. So it was faith in the shed blood on that was shed on the cross that had been put into the burning of their heifer. And then they had to get running water, a type of the Holy Spirit, that when they was applying that, it was the achievement on the cross being ministered by the unction and power of the Holy Spirit. They couldn't take stagnated water. They couldn't take water from a cistern. They couldn't take water from a barrel stored up somewhere. Some denominational barrel or something. No. Had been running water, living water. And today when you see people trying to give the benefits of the gospel and talking about all this great power, and you don't see no hyssop in it. Something is wrong. You don't see no cedar wood in it. When you hear in the gospel, you must see hyssop, you must see cedar wood, you must see ram's wool dyed red, you must see the blood. A gospel that don't reveal, brother, what took place in the cross. Yes, sir. A gospel that don't have no faith connected to it. A gospel that don't show the blood that speaketh better things. Amen. Yes. A gospel that don't show that crucified life on the cross.
a gospel that made the cause of no effect, it can't bring no blessing. That's why they had to put it in the heifer. Hallelujah! Today you see people in the world, power and power and power, and you don't see no crucified life. Oh my! See, you don't see no blood that can cleanse, that speak better things, that can break up every molecule of sin. Amen. Hallelujah! It had to go in there, and then it had to be applied with running water, and then there was a cleansing, a loosing. What for? To remove the defilement and bring the man whose fellowship was broken back into fellowship with God. He would come back under those seven stripes of blood on the door, and he would come back in. And now he had access to enter into the holies again. He had access to the throne, the covenant blessing, the covenant relationship with God again. Everything laid in the ashes, but the ashes got scattered. The hoof went one way. Amen. So the walk disappeared. The head went one way. All the intelligence went. Amen. But everything, the inwards went one way. All the affections in these things. The skin, the identification, the covering went one way. It was all scattered. But then there was to be a clean man come and begin to gather up all that scattered word. In 1916, a voice spoke from a whirlwind in a poplar tree and said, don't drink or smoke or defile yourself in any way. There's a work for you to do when you get older. Yeah. Hallelujah! All the ashes have been scattered. It has been left loose-ended. All the loose ends gone everywhere. But I'm going to send a clean man to gather the loose ends, to tie the scattered word and bring it back to one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Bring the whole heifer back again among the people, that all the blessings in the atonement could come back to the church again. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So God had to get a man clean from denominational defilement. Hallelujah! Who wasn't defiled by man's theology and man's ideas. A clean man. Hallelujah! Who is going to gather back the pieces, bring it back, bring the whole heifer back, all that the heifer constituted, everything lays in the atonement, bring it right back among the people. And after he gathered it up, he cannot put it in the camp. He cannot put it back in that denominational camp. Amen. He stored it up in a clean place on books and tapes, 1126. Hallelujah! He stored the ashes in a clean place. Because that ashes was the thing to keep them separated from defilement, to keep them in fellowship, to keep them under the guide and influence, to keep them under leadership and headship and relationship with the Holy Spirit, so that God could ensure that they will come into their inheritance. Hallelujah! And then God give them clean men. And God have given you a clean man here. Yeah. A man whose thinking has been filtered. A man of a holy man taste. A man who have come through the thinking man filter, the waters of separation. A man who been washed and made clean. Hallelujah! To take the ashes that have cedar wood in it. That has scarlet in it. Not just trying to preach a gospel without the power of the blood. Not just trying to preach a gospel without a revelation of the cross. Not just trying to preach a gospel that is a mental gospel without faith, but a gospel with hyssop, a gospel with cedar wood, a gospel with scarlet. And not some water from a cistern, but running water, living water, to put into action. Amen. To make his church clean, to bring them into fellowship, to keep them in union with God, to bring them into our promise. Oh my. Hallelujah. The ashes of the red heifer. I give you a condensed version. A little fireside chat. Amen. This great message, what it is to us. A clean man, come and get it up at evening time. Stir it up outside the organization in a clean place. You say, you also say, even the heart of the ministers. Who shall ascend to the hill of God? Man of clean hands and a pure heart. Amen. To bring the word.
That's right.
Amen. That will keep your people in fellowship.
Yeah.
Under the guiding influence of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because God is determined that if fellowship is broken, that fellowship will be restored. And that they'll be able to maintain fellowship. God was so thinking, knowing that we face things in life. Sometimes we just not in a condition, a situation at times to deal with certain things. Sometimes through pressure and influence, we contact the dead sometimes. And it's such a defiling thing. And sometimes we feel so condemned. We didn't get any hope for us. We walk with our head hung down for so long. But we see God's thoughts concerning those who was called out by the Exodus prophet. He was not just looking right when the prophet called him out. He was looking all the way to the end of the journey. When he bring them to the place. And to ensure that they who are called out of will come into. Hallelujah! He gave this ordinance. When you can look in the heart of God. Moses didn't make up that in his mind. Moses was instructed what to do, how to do it. Because it was speaking of a reality. And we have a word that has come back, all seven seals, all seven thunders in the voices, opening up this, bringing back one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one body, one bride. See, bringing it back, that all that heifer constituted, all that achieved for us, it lays in the form of this revealed word message. That's why it says, rapture in faith lays in this message. May you be encouraged tonight to see God's thoughts towards us. See the love of God that moved him to think about not just electing us, but ensuring that we stay under his guiding influence. Because it was a pillar of fire. He said, I will send my angel. He will bring you into the place I have prepared for you. The guide to guide us in life's journey and bring us to our eternal destination. And as we come to our earthly journey and come to our eternal destination, that guide, he knows that without him, we cannot make it. And that's why John and they, looking back at this great thing, he said, we have a fellowship and our fellowship is with the Father. And he says, God is light in him, there is no darkness. And he says, if we sin, he's just unfaithful to forgive us.
Yeah.
And there's an advocate. And he's showing us that if we walk in the light as he's in the light, yeah, as Israel marched in the light of the pillar of fire and under the sound of the trumpet, the priest is blasting the trumpet to tell them when to march, when to stop, when to camp, when to go again. And they're following that cloud, leading them and guiding them. And so we have come down through hearing the gospel being preached to us. Hearing the sound of the trumpet, my sheep will hear my voice. Walking in the light of the revelation of his word and the cleansing power of the blood, keeping us clean and keeping us in fellowship with the Father, that we can stay living under the effects of this great revelation of his will that he has made known to us. And we see where he's taking us. What encouragement, what a motivation that should give to us, that if God is thinking those thoughts about us and is so determined for us to make it, how could we just walk away? And how can we live different to that? How we ought to just surrender and yield and live our hands with Father. Have thine own way in my life, Lord. Lord, sometimes the devil bring condemnation, bring fear, bring guilt. But I see all I have to come, Lord, is submit myself to the cleansing of that ashes of the red heifer.
Amen.
Amen. And any man who didn't submit to the cleansing, he was put out of the camp. He was cut off, excommunicated. Remember in 1 Corinthians, there's a man in the camp who is defiled in the camp and defiled in the church. And Paul said that man could be delivered to the devil. That man ought to be put out of the camp. See? But then the man quickly repented. He found the ashes. He got cleansed. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. So when we look in the scripture, we see how God is so interested. That there's a way to come back. There's a way to come in. There's an ordinance given to keep us in harmony with God. Oh my. May, as you see that, when you get out there and you have to pass through them graveyards, and you have to pass through the dead all around you, amen, you remember that it's the influence of the dead is a defiling thing. It breaks fellowship. Sin is a thing like jumping cactus. You get too close, it jumps on you. And so we want to know there's a purification by separation. That water, it was to be a waters of separation. That we could be washed with the washing of the water of the word. Amen. That we can be sprinkled with clean water and purge from an evil conscience. As Paul speaks in Hebrews. Looking back at this great thing. And the ash, the purifying of the ashes of the heifer. They saw that those things had a great meaning of something that was to come in reality. And it has come to us today in the form of this message. And we are in journey to that promised land under the message, under the voice of a vindicated prophet. Yes. And following the pillar of fire that is bringing us in, that we can live again in God's presence in union with him. Yes. Amen. Amen. God, we should bless you this evening. May you be encouraged. Let's just have a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Father, how we love you. Lord, just to look in the word and see, Father, the thoughts that you have taught concerning us that reveals the depth of the love and the consideration that you have given to us. How that breaks the power of fear. How that drives away guilt and condemnation. How that gives us confidence and makes us feel loved and accepted. How that, oh God, draws us, Father, who think that there is no more place for us, oh God, that we can be drawn right up back to your bosom. Lord, we thank you for this, Father. We thank you, dear God, we see there's something for this age. You have sent a clean man in the evening time, a man clean from the denominational defilement, Lord, who have gathered back all this scattered word and brought it back and tied it together and brought it to the revealing of the Son of Man and bring it back as the capstone revelation in the evening time. The capstone of love, the headstone coming shoutings of grace. Grace! We thank you, Jesus. To know that you told your prophet every redemptive blessing lays in the atonement to show how complete it was, the sufficiency of it, to keep us under that guiding influence, Lord. And we can march to the promise because you are the author and you are the finisher. And you are determined that you will not have to abandon your program, but you will finish what you started. We thank you, Jesus. May these words this evening encourage your children and these who have labored and have ministered to the saints. Dear God, Father, may they be lacking in nothing. And may, oh God, even all those who are connected with them that they are believing for, standing in your divine presence. Lord, you said what you have done to the least of my children, you have done it unto me. And not even one cup of cold water will go unrewarded in how much they have labored and ministered unselfishly, sacrificially, oh God, cheerfully. And Lord God, may you cause them to abound, Father. Lord, and your precious servant here and his helpers, his deacons and trustees, and Lord, his family, his loved ones, and the people that stand with him, oh God. This little work here will always be, Lord, a light on a lampstand, oh God. Lord God, those that within will see the light, and those that come in will see the light. And those round about, Father, sitting on a hill, you said, cannot be hid. And Lord, they are the salt of the earth. Lord God, those who come in contact with them, there will be such a thirst created in their heart. They will desire, oh God, to have what they see existing, living, oh God, here in your people. That which moves in and out among them, this living Christ, may you grant it, Father. And may, Lord, you strengthen their hands, Lord. May you give them the leadership and direction in the days to come, Father. As we walk in this dark hour, May you, the God who said you shall supply all our needs according to your riches and glory, Lord God, know it is impossible for you to lie, Father. Lord, you are willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, the immutability of your counsel confirmed by our oath. You give a hope steadfast and sure that it might be an anchor of the soul. So, dear God, may every soul be anchored tight to that tight post, Lord. No tension, no nervous strain, no pressures, oh God. Just in rest, Father, like Ruth was resting, knowing that Boaz will not rest until he complete the thing this day. May you grant it, Lord. We thank you and we give you honor and glory. And we just ask your blessing upon all your children in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. May God peace be with you.
What a wonderful job. Amen. How many believe that God has given us everything we have need of for this journey? Amen. Everything lays right there in the message. You don't have to go out looking for anything. God has given us everything that we have need of. There's joy in there. There's eternal life. Amen. There's everything that if you lose your joy, you can come back and gain your joy. There is a way made for trespasses. Everything has been placed in the message. I'm glad that God sent a clean man to gather up the red heifer. Amen. Aren't you glad he didn't put it back in the denominational system? Amen. He put it without the camp. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Praise God. I'm so glad he done it like that so we can have access to these things. Amen. Hallelujah. See, what if they had put it back in the camp? We wouldn't have access to eternal life tonight. We wouldn't have access to the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't have access to joy in our salvation. But I'm so glad that God has placed it in a place, a position, that we can have access to it. And these things belong to the bride. God gave us what we have need of for the journey. Amen. That's why the bride of Jesus Christ, she is an unstoppable people. There is no power of Satan that will ever stop her. Because God has made a provision for everything that she has need of. Amen. All it takes is common faith to apply these things to your heart. Amen. I'm so glad that he even has given us that faith to apply these things to our heart. If it hadn't been for him, where would we be? Hallelujah. I tell you, the meetings have certainly been wonderful. These four meetings with Brother Vin, hallelujah. I tell you, he's a gifted man of the Lord. And I feel that we are a privileged people to have had Brother Vin to come down and speak, Lord, to the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. When it just staggers me to think that Brother Vin had 5 years. 5 is the number of grace. And amen, to come back in the United States and to preach. Amen. He is an international speaker. I believe he's going to Holland when he leaves. Very shortly. So he's an international preacher. But God has blessed him. And let us pray for Brother Vin. I'm sure that he'll never forget you and you'll never forget him. It's good when people leave a good lasting impression upon you, because there's all kind of impression that we leave, but a good lasting impression. Amen. I trust that you've got something out of the meetings. If you didn't, I tell you, it's just like I've seen children walking Toys R Us. And they see a big store there, but they don't know what's behind those doors. And they love toys. But when they walk into that store and they look at all those toys, they don't know what to do. Amen. They grab that and look at it and throw it down. They grab that and throw it. It's just so beside themselves, because there's just so much there. Amen. Glory. Brother, that's the way the message has been this weekend. Amen. But I tell you, we don't throw it down, we put it in the buggy. Amen. Why? Because we got a Father that's able to purchase everything. Amen. That we want. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
Brother, when you get back home, you're going to be the happiest kid on the block.
Amen.
Amen. So happy. You want everybody to come to your house to see all the wonderful things that you have received. Amen. I'm the happiest kid on the block now. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you love him tonight? Let's give Brother Vin a round of applause. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You hate to
those from different places, be in prayer for one another. Amen. That God will continue to bless you. Amen. We're glad to see all this here tonight. Glad to see Brother Edlin tonight. I don't know who the gentleman here is standing here beside me, in front of me here. But Brother who?
Brother Jenkins.
Brother Jenkins. Amen. I've heard of Brother Jenkins. Get a chance to see Brother Jenkins. Praise God. Amen. Church, this is Brother Jenkins. Amen. Amen. Praise God. He's a minister, if I'm not mistaken. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. What is that?
Barnwell.
Oh, Barnwell. Amen. We got a work going on in Barnwell. Amen. Well, praise God, brother. Glad to hear that. Amen. Appreciate the hearing when God has established a work someplace. And amen. Honey, that last seed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I hate to go. It's been good. I've seen all the work and the efforts of everyone they put together. Amen. I've seen the saints. I've seen everything just come together. It's good, as I was saying, it's good when you can see a plan come together. Oh, my. Hey, when a plan comes together, this has been planned from the foundation of the world. And watch how it just comes together. It might look like, oh, it's not going to work. This don't work here. This ain't going to work here. But then all of a sudden, it began to come together. Amen. I said, Lord, I said, we're going to have an overrun just to show you how part of the plan. I said, Lord, we're going to have an overrun. We need something to show in the video and get the. So we rented all the equipment. Couldn't get nothing to work. I said, Lord, what are we going to do? Then the sister walked in and she said, well, I got that. You don't have to worry about that. I've got that. I've got just what you need. The plan just coming together and just working right out. I tell you, it's real good. Amen. Taking my time, but I'm so happy. Like I say, I'm the happiest kid on the block. So y'all excuse me when I show off my new toys. Amen. Amen. We appreciate everyone. Now we're going, let's just sing a little song, Now I Know Why Jesus Loved Me. And then we are going to be dismissed. We're going to get Brother Jenkins to come and dismiss us in prayer tonight. Amen. Now I know why Jesus loved me. Amen. Now I know why Jesus loves me. Now I know why, now I know why He cares. Glory. Now I know why He sacrificed His life. Oh, and I'm glad, I'm so glad He did. Now you got it, now let's sing it now. Glory. Now I know why Jesus loved me. Now I know why, now I know why He cares. Now I know why He sacrificed His life. Oh, and I'm glad, I'm so glad He did. Glory, hallelujah. He would hunger if Jesus didn't love me. That's a good thing to ask, you know. Where would I be if He didn't care? Glory! Where would
done for us? Glory, hallelujah.
He left his mighty glory, glory.
You know, he come with a purpose, you know.
To bring to us redemption story.
Glory. See what he done?
Then he died and he rose again.
After 2,000 years.
Oh, and I'm glad. I'm so glad he did.
Now turn to the person beside you and say, shake your hand now. Glory. Hallelujah.
Where would I be? Where would I be if Jesus came?
Glory, hallelujah.
Where would I be if Jesus didn't sacrifice his life? Oh, and I'm glad. I'm so glad he did.
Now give the Lord a wave offering. Now I know why. Glory.
Now I know why Jesus loves me.
Aren't you glad to have that revelation now?
Now I know why he cares.
Glory, hallelujah, born again church.
Now I know why he sacrificed. I'm so glad he did.
Now sing it with enthusiasm. Where would I be? Glory. Full of envy, strife, and enemy in the wickedness of the world.
Sacrificed his life. Oh, and I'm glad. I'm so
thank you.
Hallelujah. Let's all bow our hearts before the Lord. Father, we're so grateful. Lord, that we can come and sit before the throne tonight and hear thy word. We thank you, Lord, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you've done in this day, Lord. Thank you for this message, Lord, that we've heard tonight. God has pricked our hearts. Oh, God, we're so grateful for the mighty work of the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you for every heart and every soul that's present tonight. We pray, God, that you'll go with us, Lord, as we travel upon the highways. God, we ask you to go with us to our homes. Bring us back, Lord, with a praying heart and the victory in our soul. We'll give you praise, Lord, in the name of our Jesus. And the church said, amen. God bless you.
I just want to thank you, Lord, for letting me hear.